So the plan for tonight's co-hosted meeting is I'll start with a brief presentation, and Jessica will come up and do a few slides about the actual Community Emission Reduction Program. And then from there, we're going to move into really hearing from you. So there's an exercise that Crystal pointed out that we'll be doing some Q&A discussion around these three questions and getting hopefully some good and valuable input from you that will help to inform kind of our board's decision. And then we will be transitioning to the regular Community Steering Committee meeting that the district will be leading. So I'd like to start by providing an overview of the statewide Community Air Protection Program. In 2017, the California Legislature passed Assembly Bill 617. This was a new bill designed to improve air quality at the community level through partnerships with community members, focusing on communities that are most heavily burdened by air pollution across the state. So CARB actually established the Community Air Protection Program to implement this legislation. There are many different components of the program, including new statewide and regional emission reduction strategies, actions like regulations to limit emissions and funding for cleaner technologies, a suite of new databases and enhanced emissions reporting requirements to support these emissions reduction efforts, community-focused plans to reduce air pollution. In the legislation, these are known as a Community Emissions Reduction Program, which is what you've been working on here. And then finally, new local efforts to measure exposure to air pollution, known as community air monitoring. And again, this committee worked on helping to inform a community air monitoring plan for Shafter. So these elements combined are designed to bring cleaner air to communities most impacted by air pollution in California. So in many communities, there's a variety of emission sources. All of these emissions combined can mean levels of air pollution that are too high. This is what we call cumulative exposure. And in many communities, emission sources are also close to where people live, work, and play, which increases exposure issues. What sets AB 617 and the Community Air Protection Program apart from other air quality programs is the focus on communities and cumulative exposure to air pollution. There were a couple of milestones for CARB in 2018. The Community Air Protection Blueprint was approved by our board, and this basically set out the framework for what would constitute a community emission reduction program and the community air monitoring plan. And then also our board selected an initial 10 communities for community emission reductions programs, community air monitoring, or both. Of course, Shafter is one of the communities that was approved or selected for both an emissions reduction program and an air monitoring plan. And the other community selected in the San Joaquin Valley, of course, is South Central Fresno. So why are we here tonight? The community selection in 2018 that I mentioned in the last slide was the first step in a process outlined in the law for community emissions reduction programs. This is the same process for all community emission reduction programs in the state. After a community is selected, the air district has 1 year to work with a local steering committee to develop a community emissions reduction program and have it approved by the local air district board. Once the plan is approved locally, AB 617 requires that the plan get submitted to CARB for our board to take action, followed by implementation and annual reporting. The San Joaquin Board approved the SERP back on September 19th, which means that the next step is for it to go before CARB's board. And as you can see here, the community engagement really is a critical piece of all of these efforts. So we're hoping to hear directly from you about the program this evening. And so with that, I will hand it over to Jessica, who has a few slides to discuss about the Community Emission Reduction Program here in Shafter.
Thanks, Scott, and hi, everybody. Thanks again for being here. So I'm just going to go over a couple slides tonight. I know so many of you have been really intimately involved with this process, so we're not going to beat around the bush and go in the weeds on this. We wanted to the steering committee again take this opportunity to really express our gratitude for your ongoing work and your commitment. Being here to give your feedback on this process, we're always looking for ways to continually improve our community outreach program through AB617. As you all know and helped develop, we've got a really great community emission reduction program, or SERP, which was developed kind of based on those priorities that we heard back from the community. We have measures targeted to reduce emissions from heavy-duty sources, targeting those heavy-duty trucks that we see going through the community, as well as automobiles, agricultural sources, which we heard a lot of concern about, especially with Shafter being in such a rural location, industrial sources being oil and gas facilities, and then residential sources was one we maybe didn't expect to hear a lot about, but I heard significant community concern, and so work to include measures in the SERP to address. We also have measures to reduce exposure through indoor air filtration at schools. We have, working with the committee, committed to fund advanced filtration systems at 10 schools in and around Shafter, which I know is a really big priority, as well as urban greening and vegetative barriers in the community. And then, based on that community concern we heard, we've committed to work with other agencies to address concerns for sources of pollution that we don't have direct jurisdiction over at the district. So working with DPR to address pesticide concerns, working with the city and the county to get more bike lanes, road paving projects. We have significant funding, $2.775 million for road paving improvements committed to kind of help with congestion and other road paving issues in Shafter. So we're really excited about those measures, and we're excited to work with you going forward to get those implemented in the community. So this is a snapshot of the document you guys are all really familiar with. As part of the SERP, we had specific dates and metrics that we'll be reporting back to both GARB and the steering committee on annually, and then for a five-year milestone report. That's included in our SERP, and we've already begun work on some of these measures, which we'll talk a little bit more about with the overview of the prioritization exercise tonight. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Scott.
Thanks, Jessica. So I'll wrap up my presentation by sharing the next steps with you. As we mentioned, the SERP has been submitted to CARB. In early January, our staff will be releasing a staff report. What we're going to hear from you tonight will help to inform the staff report. The staff report will be posted for a public comment period. Then on February 13th here in Shafter, our board will take action on the Shafter SERP, and we'll also consider the South Central Fresno SERP in the same meeting. So I think Karen hit on that a little bit earlier. So we're bringing our board here. Meeting will be here, and they will be hearing both South Central Fresno and the Shafter SERP kind of one after the other in February. So we'll look forward to getting that staff report posted and hearing a public comment. And with that, I will hand it over to Crystal, who will take us through the hearing from you exercise that we're hoping to take back with us.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Okay. Like I mentioned when we started, there are three questions, and they should be in your handout for reference. Before we get going, I just want to point out a couple things. So if you are a steering committee member, you have a yellow 4x6 sticky in front of you. We would ask a couple things. Please put one answer per sticky so you can separate them and put them in the appropriate poster, because we're going to do sort of a reflection and summary exercise afterwards. You can use more than one sticky. You can use lots of stickies. If you have a really long answer, you can tape some stickies together. Get creative. If your answer is really, really long, I would say just write the general theme of your response to the question, and then follow up with an email or a phone call to CARB so they hear. Using the markers makes it so other people can see from far away what your answer is. Sort of you do you. If you are a member of the public, Hannah is holding up a different color. You are very welcome to participate in this exercise as well. We just ask that you use a different color. So if the CARB staff need to differentiate between steering committee and the general public, they have the opportunity to do so. So anybody at any time, if you need more stickies or any stickies at all, just raise your hand and someone will bring you over some stickies. So again, you don't have to answer all of these questions. You can answer one question lots of times. Any question, no times at all. Sort of use your opportunity now to provide your feedback to CARB. So again, question one, what are the key strengths of the SERP? And at any point that when you have an answer to question number one and you feel like getting up and stretching your legs, walk over and stick it on to number one. Question two, what do you want CARB's governing board to know about the SERP? That's over here. And Vernon is going to be over here with number two. And then question three, what things have you learned through this process that you would like us to share with other communities or CARB's governing board? That's number three. And Veronica Eady is going to be over by number three. So I'm going to give everybody a couple number of minutes. I'm going to say five, but lie, and it'll probably really be eight, to sort of write some answers. And then we'll start to reflect and sort of theme out and reflect on what we're hearing. Any questions about this exercise? No? Okay, thank you. So in about 5 minutes, I'm going to do a check. And at any point, just start sticking up your answers. Okay, we are going to get started with sort of the summary of what answers have been turned in so far. So I'm going to start with Karen with question number one. So just as a reminder, question number one is, what are the key strengths of the Community Emission Reduction Program?
All right. And I know you all are still working, but I will kind of try and run through this. So I think one of the common themes that we... Oh, there's more coming. Thank you. Okay. Is what we're seeing is there was a lot of this associated with that it really was a chance for everybody to sit down together and learn more about what the air quality issues in this community were. And then using that to then identify what kinds of strategies actually can reduce the pollution in this community. A number of these really focused on the fact that as compared to other programs that might be looking across the entire valley, this program was really focused on how do we bring these programs locally, and that many of the strategies really were getting at to what are the priorities and the specific things and bringing the incentive money to Shafter to benefit all of the residents in Shafter itself. For example, you know, that a lot of these measures benefit the broader Shafter area rather than spreading it around the entire valley. There was appreciation as a strength that the boundaries were expanded, so could look not only at the city of Shafter, but that broader 7-mile radius, and including looking at Mexican Colony and other areas and what needed to be done. Then some recognition here of some very specific kinds of sources that people wanted to really see a focus on. One was heavy-duty trucks within the community, and the inclusion of the pesticide measures, though a recognition there is more work to be done to really flesh out what those look like. And then there are also some comments about there's still work to be done that might look at how the funding is distributed between different categories, and still some concerns about, you know, where that funding is focused, which I know will be an ongoing discussion as part of implementation, especially I think the relative proportions, Tom, between some of the money going to heavy-duty sources versus some of the community-focused ones like solar or other ones. And then finally, I will just close with this one that was a community-driven, community-led process, which I think really captures what the goal of this program was overall.
Thanks, Karen. Any questions for Karen in regards to what the strengths are?
Did I miss anything in doing my summary of all of the ones that you put up here?
All right. Let's have some applause for Karen for summarizing. Yay, Karen. Okay. And these are getting progressively more detailed, I imagine, in responses. So we're going to go question number two to Vernon. What would you want CARB's governing board to know about the Community Emissions Reduction Program?
G- Good evening, everybody. Vernon Hughes from CARB. So I got a lot of really good comments and feedback here. So a group of comments that are fairly consistent in terms of the not enough emphasis on pollution reduction. The reductions were not broader than what the agencies already focus on. Also in terms of the participation concern that a small group of members drove the conversation, and just membership on the committee, some comments there, as well as a lot of specific comments in terms of for the elements that individuals desired in the SERP that were not included, questions about the process of how implementation might be might move forward, concern about just implementation, that the plan needs to be implemented, and concerns that the it's implemented as promised, and then again specific interest such as idling at school locations, which Tom's poster in the back there addresses, some concerns about rail. Railroad track, emissions of rail, emissions around railroad tracks. Let's see. Good comments on facilitation and the value of having a good facilitator help the process move forward. And then concerns also in terms of measures not being focused on the community. Concerns that some of the emission reductions might occur outside of the community versus being focused within the community. So that's a and concern about pesticides on either in terms of notification and the impact of notification on emission reductions, concern about emission reductions from pesticides, and that's a quick summary. Is there any, did I miss any major points that anybody wanted me to add?
Any thoughts? Questions for Vernon? No? Okay, we're going to go deeper because this question three really invites sort of the what do we do moving forward.
Thanks, Vernon. Veronica Eady, CARB. I got a lot of post-its, so I want to thank everybody for wanting to share their comments, positive and negative. So I won't go into all of them because there are so many here, but some themes. So there were some folks who were feel like they learned a lot from the process and they learned things that they didn't know. There was an emphasis on partnerships. Some recommended that communities should get organized early, and I think that would probably include capacity building so that folks are ready to hit the ground running. But at the same time, there was a warning about burnout. You know, so many meetings can cause people to burn out, and so we really need to think about that. And I think there was one here that specifically said that the process should be streamlined. There were some other people who felt like there were too many community residents and there weren't enough industry people who know the lay of the land of the industries here. There was one that said that there should be more agricultural representatives on the steering committee. There were some who recommended that we organize early and collaborate with other agencies. So there's one here about Department of Pesticide Regulation. Another person says that the county ag commissioner should be here at the steering committee meetings. What else do we have? We did have somebody who says that the SERP should be sent back to the district and it needs some work. There were some people who were critical who felt like of the incentive money, industry was getting a lot more than the local residents. So keep an eye out for that. And I guess that's it. I feel like I covered most of it.
Okay. Does anybody, I know this one has a storytelling aspect. Yeah. And again, it applies to both moving forward through the implementation phase here in Shafter. And then also, spoiler alert, there's three more communities going online in January. So the lessons that you guys can share would both benefit you moving forward, and also those three new communities that are starting from step one. So does anybody want to expand upon their advice or their thoughts in regards to what things have you learned through this process that you would like CARB to understand, or the Air District to understand, or me to understand?
Thank you. I just have a clarifying question. Abigail Solis with South Hub Enterprises. For those residents who obviously expressed the concern and voiced their concerns with their little written sticky note, is this process going to attempt to address that and do something to help remedy the concern before it moves forward, or is this already set in stone? And forgive me, I'm not as up to date with the process, so just wondering what's going to happen with the concerns that have been expressed.
Okay, so this part is a little different than what we normally do. So these responses are going to be collected from CARB and then will be used to inform the staff report that will go before the CARB governing board. So you have until Christmas, Merry Christmas for CARB, to get them any additional thoughts. But everybody is here and everybody is listening. So as this steering committee and chapter moves forward through the implementation phase over the next 4 years, there is the opportunity to adjust how we do things, right? To make this maximally effective for everybody in the room. So this is the opportunity to hear from each other, to understand within the constraints of the process, what can we do differently to be better?
Okay, these questions don't address the local pollution inventory. We were given some data early on about what pollutes our air locally. It was very inadequate for us to make any decisions based on that because, I mean, we had specific questions that were never answered, like JP Oil south of Shafter has a whole bunch of internal combustion engines running, I think, oil pumps. They do a lot of flaring. We never got one bit of data on that operation, even though we specifically asked for it. We never got any information on how many farmers are using internal combustion engines to pump water within the 7-mile radius and where those pumps are approximately located. So it's hard to make good decisions on a lot of money going out for a certain program if you don't have adequate information.
So that's a good example of what I hear Tom saying is, when a question is asked or a data request is made, that it is followed up on or an answer is provided in a timely fashion. So Melissa from CARB is capturing any additional key points here, but please make sure that any of these, that's a wonderful, both a comment on the process for two and also a suggestion for moving forward how to do things differently. Any other thoughts?
A mí me gustaría que se tomara más en cuenta la comunidad. Esto se hizo para comunidad, no para las industrias, ni para rancheros, ni para nadie. Es para la comunidad, porque es la dañada, la que está dañada. Afectada, si se podría
this,
decir.
Community is the most affected.
Oh. Que yo no estoy de acuerdo en que se les dé más incentivos a los a las industrias.
That the industry should receive more incentives.
Porque este programa era
because
para
this program
la comunidad.
Was developed for the community.
No para las industrias.
Not for the industries.
Y la comunidad
and
es la que más necesita.
And the community is the one that needs the
es
most.
Es la más dañada.
It's the most affected.
Y la que menos se le ha and, dado dinero en incentivos.
And it's the community that's receiving the least incentives.
Las compañías ganan dinero.
The companies, they make money.
La comunidad que gana.
The community, what do they gain?
Thank you. Any other thoughts, comments? I see one.
Paulina Torres of the Center on Race, Poverty, and the Environment. I just wanted to clarify my comment about community burnout and how it wasn't to suggest that we need more meetings. It's to suggest that we need more strategic meetings. You know, most of the residents here aren't paid to be here, and so they have jobs. And so, for example, just one anecdote, we agreed on the, you know, Tom mentioned the 7-mile radius. We agreed to that, you know, or the community agreed to that, majority consensus on one of the first meetings. And then 5 months later, that, you know, the district said that there was no 7-mile radius. And then we had to go back to process and we had to find those records. And so, you know, all of this to say time spent fighting, you know, those kind of disagreements or kind of process issues. Process is important, but it takes away from really getting to substance. And, you know, like I mentioned, there's burnout. And I think future communities really ought to, you know, be cognizant of those issues.
Thank you. I see one over here.
If I'm not mistaken, the process, the CERT process, had two types of processes. One that actually did studies first to Tom's request, and then those that did not have to do the studies first in order to really set up their SERP. This process, to Tom's point, really does need to have data first. There is no data that Tom is referring to that's available. You have a railroad track here that runs through the city all the time, and there's emissions that occur from the idling of those vehicles. So it's kind of like we've put this before we really had true data to work from in order to make sound decisions. So to the point also, too, about the community, absolutely. But that would have come if we had had data to support that. And so we are looking at a process right now that we're, the community is the one that should be getting permanent infrastructure to permanently take care of emissions, such as grade separations, walking trails, better sidewalk. I mean, those kind of things that permanently belong to the community, which cannot be removed. And I don't think you can do that unless you have true data to figure out where that needs to be.
So my very limited understanding is that some of the 617 communities did just monitoring and some did monitoring and a SERP, but I'm wondering if there's anyone who wants to build upon that if I'm wrong. I see hands pointing over here. Oh, wait. Trish. Karen.
Keep circling around till it always comes back to me. So you're correct. There were three communities out of the 10 that began with air monitoring with the goal of eventually moving into also having a community emission reduction program. But of the 7, they were ones that collectively we all felt there was enough information right now to go forward into that strategy and action development phase. But recognizing, and I think this is kind of to Tom's point, is that it's going to be an iterative process. So I think we all want to continue to update, refine, enhance the emission inventory that will help keep informing the implementation of those strategies, as well as any new information that we learn from the air monitoring and how effective those strategies are in the community.
Thanks, Karen. Any other thoughts you want to share today? And again, I just as one more reminder, if you have comments you don't want to publicly put up on the posters, that's fine. There's a comment box in the back. If you have comments that don't fit nicely on a Post-it, also fine. You have until Christmas to contact CARB, and there will be a, I believe, an email address or a phone number. Ha-ha! There is. So by Christmas, please follow up with CARB if you have any other thoughts or answers to any of these three questions or anything else you'd like to share in regards to this process. Any final thoughts or comments before we move on to the district section of the meeting? Okay. I think we are going to Christina. Yes.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Christina Padilla. I'm an outreach and communications representative for the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District. And I'm here to provide you with the updates that we have for our outreach and communications department. I'm happy to announce that our Rule 4901 is now active. It started November 1 and it ends through November, or it ends of the end of February. And that is our check before you burn rule. And the curtailment did change, or the levels have changed for our hotspot areas. Our hotspot areas are Fresno County, Madera, and Kern counties. And because we're going to have, in result to these amendments to the rule, we're going to have less burn days for these communities, which is good because it's going to reduce air pollution in those communities. Those are our most challenging parts of our valley. And we have a great burn cleaner program available. It is for residents to receive $3,000 to switch out their open hearth fireplace, a regular fireplace, for a gas insert. So we're really excited to announce that. And this time is not income-based. So if you are, you know, that was brought up in one of our meetings that, you know, most of our incentives are directed for our lower-income communities. But this one, in all three hotspot areas, everyone will receive the $3,000 for that gas insert. And then the second update that I have is we had a press event on Friday in Wasco. We talked about Mio Car. It's a car rent. It's not a car rental. It's a ride share that we have. We have five car share. We have five cars in Wasco and 17 charging stations. We will have 27 vehicles at the end once this pilot program is completed. Three of those vehicles will be vans. They are the Chrysler Pacificas. So bigger families could participate. And it's really easy to partake in this program. The only requirement is that you have to be 21 or older. You have to have a clean driving record and a driver's license, and it's really inexpensive. So if you want to use it for an hour, it's only $4 for that hour. If you want to use it for the whole day, it's $35 Monday through Friday, and on the weekends, it's $45 per day if you want to use it. So, yeah, we have all those programs available along with all of our other grant programs. Are there any questions? María. No me tiene que traducir.
Porque yo como comunidad, te voy a decir lo que yo siento como comunidad.
Okay.
Nos quitan todo. Nos quitan, no, ya no vamos a poder hacer ni un barbecue porque no podemos quemar.
No, sí puede usar su barbecue.
Y luego
esto es para las casas, digo, para las chimeneas de adentro.
Ajá. Ok, vamos a suponer que la mayoría no prenda sus chimeneas. Ok, y las industrias, ¿qué les prohíben? ¿A las industrias qué les quitan?
Esa pregunta sería mejor para alguien. Do I have anybody here from the compliance department? Sí tenemos regulaciones que ellos tienen que seguir, pero esta es la forma que podemos platicar con el... Is it okay if I do it in Spanish? Is that okay?
Vamos a suponer una familia de bajos recursos.
Ajá.
Que no tiene calefacción ni refrigeración.
Si la persona no tiene calefacción, puede ser exento. Entonces, tenemos diferentes programas disponibles. Vamos a decir que no tienen propano, ¿verdad? Que no tienen gas natural. La regulación no les afecta a ellos.
Sí, porque las afueras de Shafter,
ajá,
no tienen estufas de gas, porque tienen los tanques.
Ajá. Es propano, ¿verdad?
Ajá.
Si ellos tienen propano, la regulación no les afecta a ellos.
Eso es lo que yo quería, ajá, entender.
Sí.
Okay. Aparte de eso, mira, ellos también pagan taxis. Nosotros también pagamos taxis. Alguien me dijo que porque las industrias pagan más taxis que nosotros, a ellos se les da más facilidades. pero ellos son los que dañan más. Eso es lo que yo no veo un balance. Es imposible que haya un balance porque pues ellos son industrias. Uh-huh. Es como David contra Goliat. No lo puedes tumbar.
Pero por eso tenemos este programa disponible de los $3,000 para ayudarles a todos a que se vayan, a que lo cambien para un inserto, a algo más limpio que no afecte tanto la calidad del aire. Por eso cambiamos la regla y subimos el incentivo para poder para poder ayudar a las personas que no tienen, que nada más pueden usar su chimenea.
$3,000. ¿Y cuáles son los requisitos para que esa persona califique?
Es muy fácil, simplemente tiene que ser residente de nuestro valle. Uh-huh. y llenar la aplicación. Tengo unos documentos que dice las preguntas frecuentes, lo tengo en español también. Uh-huh. y es muy fácil llenar la aplicación. Si la quiere en español, la tenemos en español.
Sí,
y en inglés.
Sí, me gustaría porque uh-huh. como uno convive con las comunidades.
Ajá, claro.
Estaría bueno explicarles.
Claro que sí.
Porque hay gente que no tiene tiempo para venir aquí.
Claro.
Pero cuando nosotros tenemos nuestro comité, nuestras juntas de comité, ajá. se les pueden ofrecer.
Y yo con mucho gusto le puedo dar panfletos en español para ajá. que se lleve a su comunidad, a sus iglesias. Y nos pueden hablar para pedir la aplicación o les podemos dar direcciones cómo lo pueden hacer en su página de internet.
Muchas gracias, aunque no todos saben usar el internet.
Es muy fácil, si no les mandamos una aplicación.
Perfecto, me gustaría.
Gracias.
A usted.
Are there any more questions? Go ahead.
I'll try to be quick about this. That's okay. Okay. Well, I know you're thinking that this gas insert would be a little bit better than, you know, to replace the chimneys, the fireplaces and stuff like that. But in a way, doesn't that kind of contribute even more to the pollution? Wouldn't that kind of make it worse? Because you're going to be burning fossil fuel in regards to just burning wood or whatever it is you can find to heat up your chimneys.
Well, burning wood is actually what contributes to our PM2.5 pollutant that we have in the winter, and this is why we are moving for a cleaner device. So our gas inserts are cleaner than burning wood in releasing all those PM2.5 tons into the air, into your home, into your community. So it is cleaner to burn natural gas.
But where's that gas coming from? Exactly from the same places that are around here that are already burning, just using whatever it is that they're making, that they're doing around here in town. I mean, you also got gas from the gas stations or gas from your vehicle that's supposed to be natural gas, but that's just as much contributing than, you know.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to have Jess answer.
Unless,
that
of course,
you.
There's something else in the that's different.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. Well, just to clarify, it is different, of course, than the gas from your vehicle. But overall, the gas that we're burning in fireplaces is, and I don't have the exact number, but significantly, like on an order or multiple orders of magnitude, cleaner, at least compared to burning wood. And that's burning wood in an uncontrolled, like really old, dirty device, and even burning wood in a clean EPA-certified device. So both, while the EPA-certified is certainly cleaner than an older, maybe open hearth wood-burning device, the natural gas device is so much cleaner, and just immediately when it comes in terms of your in-home health and your neighborhood-level, community-level pollution that we're talking about here, burning wood, especially when we get those inversions or those really stagnant, sometimes foggy days here in the valley, significantly increases, and there's been studies to show, significantly increases asthma, a lot of other cardiovascular events. There have definitely been correlations and studies that show that there have been increases in hospitalizations due to particulate matter, and especially due to particulate matter from woody waste, including, or woody biomass, including wood in fireplaces. And so when you can smell that wood, especially sometimes you walk around in a neighborhood that has people that are burning, smelling that automatically can tell you just how much particulate is being emitted into the air. So that's really our goal here is to reduce that.
I get that a lot in my neighborhood. But I was just thinking, you know, if you're already kind of contributing by burning gas anyway, by cooking, even using propane, then by using a gas fireplace, wouldn't that also be just, you're taking out one thing that's supposedly bad and you're putting in something that's good, but in a way, doesn't that also, it's also kind of bad too in some sense?
So, I mean, certainly, I think overall we can all agree that the less you emit overall, including burning something like natural gas, is obviously, you know, less pollution out there. But I think in terms of what we're trying to do here, we're trying to take something that's really, really high polluting, acknowledging that there's still people who rely on their fireplace for heat and other things, and saying there's a way cleaner, less detrimental way to heat your home and use that fireplace.
All right. Well, since we're also going into electric, I just thought maybe there's electric heaters, electric fireplaces.
Electric heat pumps, and that's a great, great point. And I'm glad you said that. Electric heat pumps are included on this. And I believe there's an extra, I think in the Shafter community, I don't know if it's, Todd, I don't know if this, is it $4,000 for electric heat pump? So an additional $1,000 if you're transitioning to electric. So there is an incentive to further reduce that. And that's a really, really great point. I'm glad you said that.
So just to clarify, Jessica, you have to have a fireplace that you're removing to get $4,000 for an electric heat pump?
Yes. I just looked at Todd, who's because the director of our incentives.
Because electric heat pump to heat your home has nothing to do with the fireplace. It's most people have a whole house heating system that burns natural gas, which can be replaced with a heat pump system. Are you saying you'll pay $4,000 to do that? Because we asked for that multiple times in the SERP, and it's not in the SERP. But you're saying you have another program that does that.
Tom, what you're not telling them, yeah, you want to go to that electric. Now, you're going to inform them that their electric costs will more than triple. So they want to build a four.
No, that's irrelevant. It's more efficient. I want my question answered. We can talk. Or you could get the mic later.
Yes, electric heat pumps are included now in our Burn Cleaner program. So you can get up to $4,000 for the installation of an electric heat pump. Now,
regardless of whether you have a fireplace
or not.
No,
we do want to permanently disable those open hearth fireplaces or get rid of those dirty inserts. So that's generally a requirement of the program.
So the normal person in town who wants to change natural gas burning to electric for whole house heating doesn't qualify.
If they can disable their existing fireplace that's in their home.
No, I'm saying what if they don't have a fireplace?
Right now, the way the program is structured, they have to have a fireplace that they're replacing.
Okay, see, that's the whole problem with this SERP, too. It didn't acknowledge that burning natural gas to heat buildings, whether it's a gas stove or a whole house heater, is one of the major pollution sources in the wintertime when our air is the worst here in Shafter. That bit of information was in the inventory. And we need a program to switch the burning of gas to electric for those who see it as beneficial. And if you have solar, it's extremely beneficial to do that. And if you don't, you're still going to save money because the new electric heat pumps are so efficient and the price of gas keeps going up. But here's the other comment I have. It's the same thing in the SERP where we talk about replacing diesel ag pumps with electric. We asked for the replacement of natural gas ag pumps as well. And that was taken out of the SERP.
No, that's in there. That's included.
Well, it's not in the language. It's got to be in the language very clearly that it's in there.
I'm glad you're pointing to this table because I want to transition to Todd, but also point out that my understanding is that this is a summation of the strategy, not the entirety of the text.
Yeah, and we actually did, based on the feedback from this committee, we actually did go back and include going from natural gas to electric as well as diesel.
Okay, so I'm going to give Todd a chance to do one quick update based on, if you recall from the last time we were all here, we did that prioritization exercise. Everyone should have in front of them this very large table that shows the results of that exercise and the ranking that everybody voted as far as which measures they wanted to see implemented sooner rather than later, indicated on the I love it versus the ones that were the I like it and the ones that had neither I like it nor I love it votes, in which case, Todd will explain this better with this graphic.
Well, thank you very much. And again, just briefly, this is based on the prioritization exercise that we did during the last meeting, where we went around and we put stickers on the different measures. Either you like the measure, you love the measure, you wanted to see it implemented immediately, or you had really no feeling about the measure. So this is kind of just a graphical representation and a prioritization of all of those of those measures. The green bar represents those that were love it. And it goes down, so the ones on the top will be the most prioritized. And so what we're doing, and again, my name is Todd DeYoung. I'm with the Grants and Incentives Group at the AIR District. And so based on the committee's feedback and based on the prioritization that this committee did, what we're going to go ahead and do now is we're going to take our list of measures that have been prioritized by the committee, and we're going to go through and we're going to start immediately implementing the ones that we can. We don't have to wait for the SERP to be completely adopted by CARB to start making immediate improvements in the city of Shafter. We're going to take the ones that we have existing programs for and existing guidelines. We have the funding. We have it available right now. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take this and we're going to prioritize. And those programs that we have existing guidelines for, we're going to go ahead and start the immediate implementation of those, starting with the prioritized items first. Some of these will require us to wait until CARB fully adopts the SERP in February. The programs that are going to require either board approval from the AIR District Board or CARB approval through a mechanism that's being worked on right now, some of those are going to require some additional research and additional time before we can get those up and running. But we really wanted to hit the ground running and make sure that, to the extent possible, we can start this process immediately. And so if you look, some of the high priority items that were prioritized by the committee were the low dust harvesters, some of the heavy duty truck replacement, the agricultural equipment replacement programs, some of those big emission reduction programs that the district already has funding, we already have guidelines for, and we can implement those immediately. We're going to do some targeted outreach in Shafter. We're going to contact businesses and entities directly and get these programs up and running. And then again, so we're going to go and we're going to develop our spending plan based on the funding that's available, and we're going to start immediately implementing those programs that we can. At the same time, we're going to start working on some of those programs that are going to require a little bit of additional research. We're going to start working on those so that by the time CARB adopts the SERP in February, we've got packages of programs that we're ready to submit for CARB approval and for AIR District approval so that, again, we can get those going as quickly as possible after the adoption of the SERP. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions about that process.
Any questions for Todd?
Yeah, and I'm not sure if this is for you, Todd, or Jessica, but I'm really glad that the open burn kind of rule came into effect. And I'm glad you quoted the science on it. Like, it's as bad as it is for the environment, it's even worse for our community members, the rate of hospitalizations for asthma and such. Does that window also apply to open ag burning? Does that apply to open ag burning as well? Like that time window from now to April where you're not able to burn outside?
So those curtailments do apply to ag burning. So we are, every time that there is a curtailment in Kern County, we will also curtail ag burning for that same, which has always been our policy. But now that the curtailment level is lower, that threshold is also lower for ag burn. So just days that we think that there are going to be impacts and we curtail the community, that exactly. Ag burn, hazard reduction and pile burning that would happen, anything on the valley floor related to that open burning is also curtailed.
Okay. And so during that period of time, if folks see ag burning, would it be like appropriate for them to report that?
I think it's always certainly if there's something that you think is an issue, certainly report it and we can take a look at it. That is an internal policy. It's something that we've strictly adhered to for a long time, so I don't see why we wouldn't go out and explore right. And make sure that there are things that, of course, our rules are being followed and people have to apply for permits. That's actually been happening recently ever since November 1st. As you probably all know, I don't believe anyone in Kern County has been able to burn their wood burning device since November 1st, at least I think it was no burning for all for a couple days actually there. As you recall, it was a little bit of an interesting air quality event last week. And so that would, if there was open burning at that time, I know for certain we did shut down ag burning those days. So that would certainly be cause for letting us know.
Okay.
In your top 10 here, our top 10, replacing old diesel trucks and replacing old diesel tractors are both in the top 10. So what are you doing or going to do very soon in Shafter? Because these are two programs that the Air District already does valley-wide. So what are you going to do special in Shafter with the extra money starting real soon?
Well, these are the committee's top prioritized programs. And with that, we're going to do, like I said, we're going to do targeted outreach. I mean, we have lists of businesses and entities within Shafter and within the 7-mile radius. We're going to go out and we're going to directly outreach to these businesses and companies. We're going to talk about packaging infrastructure with a large fleet purchase of trucks. We're going to talk about, getting tractor replacements prioritized within the city of Shafter. So, our main tractor replacement program may have a significant queue of funding. We would prioritize these based on the funding that we have available for Shafter, so they would go to the top of the line. So it's targeted outreach, direct outreach to these companies and these entities within Shafter.
And something to note that this slide, because I know a lot of you probably can't see very well, because I can't see very well, this slide is going to be posted up on the Air District 617 website shortly. So any... Dora. I'm going to go. Any other thoughts after Dora?
I just want clarification. You said that there would be replacements within Shafter. Are you including, should that be within the 7-mile radius? Is that what?
It would be. Okay. It would be both. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other thoughts as we close? We're ending a little early tonight, which is always exciting. Okay. One more.
Yeah, on this longer sheet, can I get some clarification on LU.3? So it's green, so it's a program that's already getting going, and it's setbacks for new oil drilling, and that's the city, county, and Dogger. Can someone speak to that?
Who wants to speak to that?
So the commitment in the SERP, as I recall, and someone else can rescue me if I'm mistaken, but our commitment was to work with the city and the county specifically, because a lot of it was like within the county purview, to bring the committee's concerns forward and talk with them. A lot of the feedback that we included within the SERP, actually, and most of this feedback is either direct quote or referencing some of the direct feedback we got from the county, was referencing a couple of studies that the county did. And so our commitment was just to follow up, continue to track the studies that show what setbacks have proven to be health protective. There's a lot of details still within LU3, and I'm happy to, now that I don't have it, the full however many pages LU3 is memorized, but I'm happy to talk with you about it or read a little bit more about it and discuss. But that was, from what I recall, it was a commitment to sort of work with our partners in that and continue to bring the committee's concerns forward. And what happened there was we ended up just getting a lot of that feedback and put it directly in the SERP, and we didn't really have to wait for it. So that's why it's green there in the sense that we've already started that communication and that partnership.
Thanks, Jessica. Okay, any final thoughts? All right, next dates. We are not having a meeting in December, so we're taking a break for the holidays. The next steering committee meeting is Monday, January 13th, same place. And also please mark your calendars for February 13th, which is the CARB board hearing, which will be a very big deal, and in this room. I just want to do a note of appreciation. There's a lot of CARB people here very seriously listening to your input. So thank you for being honest and candid and sharing your thoughts tonight. And thank you, as always, for participating and coming. I know you have a lot of things to do, and this is not always everyone's favorite, but it's really important. So thank you so much, and please take the leftover food. We'll see you guys in January. Good night.